Many years ago, and it was a lot of years ago, because the reason why is that I was at a youth camp, not as some honorary old person, but sort of as a younger person. So it's a long time ago. And it was back in the days when smoke machines, well, sometimes we didn't even have smoke machines. You know, people would just get a whole lot of dry ice and, you know, dunk it in water, and then you would get smoke. And I can't remember how it was working, whether they had some sort of smoke machine, but I know at the end of this camp, we had dry ice. And we had a heap of boys together, and somehow we got the dry ice. And you can sort of imagine the sort of things that were going to happen. So what we did, this comes with, as one of our boys said, a don't try this at home disclaimer. So we got the pieces of dry ice. And then we would, they must have been cut small enough that we would get them inside a plastic Coke bottle, along with a little bit of water, and then do the lid up really quickly and throw the Coke bottle. And you know what happens, don't you? As the water and the dry ice came together, and the dry ice went from being a block to being a vapor, and it expanded inside the plastic Coke bottle. Plastic Coke bottle was not flexible enough or large enough to contain the power of the vapor, and you got a big explosion. And I think we just kept doing this till we ran out of Coke bottles or dry ice or something. Yeah, I don't think we blew off any fingers. But anyway, I've had a lot of protection over my lifetime from perhaps my guardian angel. People have told me all sorts of things about that. You know, I just thank God that God's looked after me. But started talking last Sunday morning about new wine. And Jesus draws this analogy about new days and new seasons and what he came to do. And he talked about new wine. And he drew this analogy of the fact that in those days, wine was incredibly important. It wasn't just a luxury. It was something that very much was part in a very dry environment. It was connected to life. It was connected to just being able to do life well. They not only drank wine, but it was used as an anesthetic, and it was used as part of sustaining life. And the way that it was kept in those days, they didn't have plastic Coke bottles, of course. They would actually put the wine in wine skins, and those wine skins were animal skins. They were probably goat skins, you know, made of goat hide. And what would happen is when after they crushed the grapes and made the wine, they would pour it into these skins. And as the wine fermented, of course, it, you know, gas would come out of it, and it would expand. And the beauty of a new wine skin was it was nice, you know, it was nice new leather. And it would actually expand with the wine. Happy days. But sometimes people would obviously try and take shortcuts, and everybody knew that it didn't work. And think, oh well, let's reuse these wine skins. So you know, the new wine next year goes into the wine skin, starts to ferment, starts to expand. Exactly the same thing as the plastic Coke bottle with dry ice. It would get to a certain point, it couldn't contain what was actually inside it, and it would explode or split, and of course the skin and the wine would be all wasted, and it was all gone. I think we live in a time where God is doing a new thing. And as Jesus used that analogy of new wine, he was actually talking about the fact that he's coming, and he wants to bring new revelation that reveals his voice and his purpose to us. With that comes the godly confidence to overcome the opposition and the insecurity of a shifting world. In Mark 2:22, this is where this verse comes from. It says, "For the wine would burst the wineskins, and the wine and the skins would be lost. For new wine calls for new wineskins." When God's doing a new thing, are we ready or in a position where we can receive what he wants to pour into us? Because, you know, it's not a lack. We don't live in a time where there's a lack of God wanting to pour stuff into our lives. Really, the question that we've got to ask ourselves is, Are we able to contain, or are we, and I think even more importantly is, are we flexible enough to hold and grow with what he would pour into our life? Can we expand with the things that God wants to pour into us? See, the old wineskins or old paradigms or past thinking are not going to be able to contain the new revelation of the future. We, of course, are the wineskins, and old wineskins were great for holding historic or old wine, but new wine required new wineskins that could contain the new wine. And a new wine, in the sense of Jesus pouring it into our lives, requires us to be flexible enough to contain what he's pouring into our life. Can we receive that new wine or that revelation that increases our light over darkness? Old wineskins were meant to contain or hold the wine from past seasons. New wineskins will hold the wine that is necessary for new seasons. Are we ready to contain or hold what God wants to bring in new seasons? And yeah, of course, we're in a new season as a church, but I believe you, there are many people here, you're in new seasons of life, you're in new times with God, and he wants you to be able to be flexible enough to be able to contain what he wants to do. Yeah, we've got exciting days ahead of us as a church, but you know, God is going to bring new wine, new opportunities, new ideas, new people, new energy, new life. Are we ready and flexible enough to contain? Are we ready and flexible enough to receive? Are we ready and flexible enough as we go into next levels of connecting with a new area, a new part of town, a new people? Are we flexible enough to be able to accommodate what God is going to bring? Are you flexible enough to contain the blessing that God would like to pour into your world? I think when we're young, it's sort of easy to be flexible. And you know what? As I've watched people go through life, and I'm actually very thankful that I got married young. Because I think it gets harder as you get older, because you become less flexible. And, you know, when you're young, it's like, oh, yeah, you just adjust and do that. But as we get older, it's like, oh, well, I've done it this way, and it's not as easy to change. Some of the challenges of some of us who are perhaps over 30 or 40 or even 50 or 60 or 70, I think I can stop there, you know, is to make sure that our past and the things that we've walked through hasn't made us so rigid that we're not able to contain the new things that God is doing. Because you know what? He is so wanting to do new things, and the only thing that is going to limit the new things that he's doing is our capacity to be able to flex and grow with what he's wanting to bring. Are we ready and flexible enough for the new wine? So last Sunday morning I talked about being able to contain and being able to receive, and we talked about three R's, and they were repent, replace, and relax. Some of you like relax. But tonight I want to talk about being flexible and how can we stretch rather than snap. Anyone here get a bit snappy sometimes? Mm-hmm. How can we stretch rather than snap? How can you know, in your workplace, you know, how can you grow with what is happening there rather than snapping and having a total meltdown and having to find another job? You know, how can we as a church grow and stretch to contain what God is wanting to do here rather than self-destructing? How can we do that? How can we like not be like that plastic Coke bottle when energy was actually put into it? You know, when that water and dry ice came together, you know, it created an energy, and that Coke bottle was unable to contain that, so it exploded. You know, God wants to pour out his spirit on us, and he doesn't want us to split or contain. And because he is so gracious, often he won't pour into us more than we're able to contain so that we don't self-destruct. You know, often if we want more, we've got to get flexible enough so that we can be good stewards of what he wants to pour into our life. And I think we've actually got to start with our hearts. It says this in Proverbs 4:23. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Another version says, that was the New Living, but the NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. I think in containing and remaining, being able to accommodate what is being poured into our life, being flexible enough, it's a heart issue. It's all about the heart. We can try and fake stuff sometimes, can't we? You know, when you're going through stuff and you've got, you know, you're dealing with the situation, or you're in a place at work or whatever, and it's grating on you, and you're just trying to be nice. Anyone been there? You know, and you know, you're smiling through gritted teeth. And you do it one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Some of you've got different levels of tolerance. But eventually, what is in our heart comes out. And notice some people seem to have something encouraging or positive to say in nearly every situation. Have you met those people? And Leonie says, yeah, I'm one of those people. Yeah, come on. She is. She's great. Lovely Leonie. And others, and I won't point anyone out, are always negative. You know, it's like they'd be negative anywhere. They just wouldn't matter what happens. Sometimes you go to them, you meet them, and you tell them the most exciting thing, and they point out what could go wrong, and they point out what has gone wrong, and they point out why you shouldn't be happy about it. You know, they sort of like wet blankets, for want of a better word. Or even some people are next level from that. They spit venom. You know, it's like, whoa, gee, I don't want to be around you. I'm receiving something here, and it's not feeling very nice. Why is that? Is it just that they just grew up that way? Or they're just that sort of person? Sometimes we make excuses for that stuff. You know, I'm just real. I tell it like it is. I don't sugarcoat stuff. But often those things are excuses for what we carry inside us. You want to maintain relationships. The Bible says this, and it actually goes right at the point. There's a verse here, Malachi 2:15, and it talks about marriage, and it says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? And I want us to think even a bit more broadly than marriage here about how we get on with people. But there's a big thing in here about keeping a marriage together too. It says, didn't the Lord make you one with your wife? In body and spirit you are his. And what does he want? Godly children from your union. So, in other words, that's what God would hope to see. And it is so, he says, how do you get this? How do you get this? Do you do enough marriage courses? Do you just lay down and allow stuff to happen? He says no. And I realize when I'm saying this, people have been all through all sorts of stuff, and it's complicated. And some of you have had people do terrible things in your world. So I'm not passing any judgment at all, because we're all broken. But it says so. Guard your heart and remain loyal to the wife of your youth. In other words, if we want those things to work, it's a hard issue. If you've been married for a little while, you're going to understand that you are going to get hurt. You're going to get misunderstood. You're going to get treated unfairly. Has anybody experienced that in their marriage? Don't put your hand up. But hey, we're humans. It happens. But if we harbor offense that becomes bitterness, it's a very hard place to come back from. That's why the godly advice is, if you want to keep this thing working, deal with your heart. And I know sometimes that's the stuff that goes on. But regardless of that, you know, even if you're in a relationship and it gets to a place where it's like, you know, if one person won't move and there's no way back, it's still wise advice to guard our heart. Because if we want to move on, we've got to deal with the heart issues. How can we stretch rather than snap? Listen to what it says in Ezekiel 36:26-27. It's talking about Israel in a new season. This was people who were in exile, and it was talking about what God would do in the fairly near future, but also what he was going to do under the new covenant with Jesus. He says, I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. So how do we stretch rather than snap? Number one, I think we need a new heart. We need a new heart. All of us have got to a point where at some point in our life, our heart has become damaged and hard and stuff has gone on. And the beauty of coming to Jesus under that new covenant, he said, actually, he's talking about that's part, you know, our heart is that emotions, the very core of our being. He says, I'm going to do something supernatural in you. I am going to take out your hard heart that is broken and unflexible, and I'm going to give you a new heart. I'm going to replace that. So if we're gonna be able to stretch rather than snap, we need a new supernatural heart. Because you know what? Most of us go through stuff that it's really, really hard. And you know, we do get damaged. Stuff happens. I could get people up here and you could start to tell the stories and we could have tears flowing here everywhere with what people have been through. And how do we get through that? How do we go on? You know what? When we come to Jesus, the supernatural thing is he says, I will take out your heart of stone and I will give you a soft and a flexible heart that is after me. We need to have that new heart, or perhaps a renewed heart. A hard heart is actually more likely to be broken than a soft heart. Sometimes when we get a bit damaged in life, we sort of harden up and we sort of protect ourselves. You know, you've probably said it yourself, or you've met those people. Oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter what they say, you know. And you know that person is actually hurting inside perhaps more than anybody, and their heart is more vulnerable, and the chances of it being broken is harder. You know, when we come to Jesus and we allow him to give us a new heart, yeah, we're going to feel things. There's a softness about it. There's a flexibility about it. But the longevity of that heart is much more than the hard heart. How do we stretch rather than snap? Number two, listen to what it says in Ezekiel 11:19. He says, I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them, and I'll remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Number two, we've got to have an undivided heart. We've got to have an undivided heart. The saddest Christians are Christians that are not sold out for Jesus. They sort of believe it and they want to follow it, but they've always got this thing. You know, part of their heart is in another place. Part of their heart is perhaps in something else. And there's always this pull going on between your heart. And I think if we want to be able to contain, if we want to be able to stretch rather than snap, let's allow our heart to be all after Jesus, and it's not divided. We're not putting it in a place where it's being stretched and we've got different things pulling at it. If it's all after Jesus, you'll be amazed at what he can do with your heart. Let's have undivided hearts. Let's make sure. Just be careful about the things that you put your heart into. There's so many things that will want to take our attention and all that. Alex and I were, a couple of weeks ago, we were at Bishano, and we've got the use of a little caravan that belongs to my parents, and we've sort of fixed it up a little bit and made it work for us, and we've sort of pretty much maxed it out. You know, we've got ourselves and two energetic little boys there, and it's quite a small caravan, but we've sort of changed it around inside a little bit, and we've got sort of an annex thing that works really well, and you know, but you know, and you're in the caravan park and you're walking around and you're thinking, well, if we do more of this, wow, one of those, gee, that new caravan there, that $150,000 rig there looks pretty good. That $70,000 caravan and that $60,000 car. In fact, I think I might just start to put my heart over there. And there's nothing wrong with that per se, if that is something that's possible. But you know what? These things always come our way and they will want to take our heart. And you know, everybody knows I talk about my cycling and I love it. But I've got to keep that in check all the time. Is too much of my heart there rather than, say, with my family and ultimately with what God's called me to do? Anything like that, we've actually got to check where our heart is. And first of all, God says, you know, seek first my kingdom and I will add. Seek first my kingdom and all these things I will give unto you. In other words, get your heart after him first. And you know, and he's happy for us to be blessed with the things when they sit in the right perspective, when our heart is first after him. Let's have an undivided heart. Let's make sure it's not being pulled in different directions. It'll make it so much easier for us to be flexible to what God wants to do with us. How can we stretch rather than snap? Number three, and I want to pray into this tonight. We need a handwritten heart. A handwritten heart. When I was at school, I'm a little bit dyslexic. You probably haven't noticed, but for me, school, the first part of my school wasn't much fun. Because back in the way they taught then, you know, it was very much about, you know, learning to write and doing things. And I just was shocking at all that stuff. I didn't have very good fine motor skills and a bit dyslexic. And, you know, and the teachers would come along and they'd look at your page and they'd tell you to start again. And, you know, I became, you know, very deflated through that. And you know what, I can't, even to this day, you know, just because of the way I'm wired, this is why I use these things. They're the best thing that ever came into my life in that area. But you know, that I can't make anything look nice or pretty with a pen or paper. You know, the best I can do is sort of something that a spider might do as it came across a page. That's on my best day. But you know what? The opposite to me, God in his perfection, he actually wants to write the most beautiful calligraphy. The people that I used to look at and go, wow, I can't understand how it happens. You know, they pick up a pen and it's just flows and it's nice and it's beautiful and it's wonderful and it's an incredible gift. And you know what? God wants to. He wants to write on your heart in those sort of letters. And he actually wants to write his plans, his purpose, his future, who you are, what he's got for you. He actually wants to write that on your heart. It says this in Jeremiah 31:33. But this new covenant I will make with the people of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep in them and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And that exact same verse is quoted by the writer of Hebrews. And let's allow the hand of God to touch our hearts. Let's not just, how do we do that? Let's get practical, but how do we do that? You know, you can pick up the Bible and you can read it or you can listen to stuff and you can hear it as an intellectual thing or you can hear it as an idea or some people will sort of hear it in a legal manner. Or we can actually, with that brand new heart that we've got, with that heart that we're choosing to make undivided, we can make it open to God. And he would actually start to write on your heart. He would actually start to change your feelings and your emotions. He would start to come into your world. And you know what? When stuff happens that's not fair, when stuff goes on that pushes your buttons, when stuff goes on that makes you uncomfortable, he's already written on your heart. And you're not having a legal response or you're not having an old response. You're having a new response because the hand of God is evident on your heart. And I think if we're going to get ready for the season that's ahead of us, we've got to make sure that we've gone to Him and we've allowed Him to renew our heart. We've got to be in a place where we've said, you know what, my heart is undivided. I haven't got a chunk of it over here. I've got it all for you, Lord Jesus. And then we've just got to be open and allow that hand of God to start to write things on our heart.